Welcome to the Science Signaling Podcast. I'm Annalisa Van Hook. In this podcast, we'll talk about how macrophages might be manipulated to become more efficient killers of tumor cells. The original research for the basis of this discussion was published in the June 2008 issue of the Journal of Experimental Medicine. A summary of the research articles we will be discussing today appeared in the Editor's Choice section of Science Signaling on June 17th. I'm here with Science Signaling editor John Foley to talk about them. Hello, John.
Hi, Annalisa.
Now, I know that macrophages can kill other cells, but these researchers found some way to make them more efficient killers?
That's right. As you said, macrophages kill, carrying out an important function of the immune system. They're perhaps best known for their role in acting as cellular vacuum cleaners, ingesting cellular debris, dead cells, and pathogens in a process called phagocytosis. Macrophages are found in tissues throughout the body and are derived from cells called monocytes, which are found in the blood. Now, at their sites of action, macrophages are essentially instructed as to how to behave by a process called activation. Activated macrophages are largely divided into two groups, M1 macrophages, which promote inflammation, and M2 macrophages, which are mainly anti-inflammatory in nature. In other words, macrophages don't always kill.
So macrophages that are activated in different ways can have opposite effects?
Basically, that's true. The behavior of macrophages is determined to a large extent by their environment. If the surrounding cells produce pro-inflammatory factors, then the resulting macrophages, the M1 macrophages, will themselves produce pro-inflammatory compounds, which help to attract other cell types to participate in the response. M2 cells, which are anti-inflammatory in nature and activated by anti-inflammatory compounds secreted by other cells, are important in tissue repair and in wrapping up the inflammatory response, which is known as the resolution phase. This is very important, since unchecked chronic inflammation leads to tissue damage and the death of healthy cells. In that case, the macrophages would likely be doing more harm than good. So, once the immune system has done its job, it's important to get things back to normal again, and the M2 cells do that.
What happens to make a macrophage an M1 or an M2 type of cell?
That was basically the question that these two research groups asked. In other words, what signaling pathway in the macrophage might be involved in making the cell commit to one form of activation or the other? Both teams investigated a potential role for a transcription factor called NF-kappa-B. This is sometimes referred to as the master regulator of inflammation. When it's stimulated, NF-kappa-B drives the expression of many genes associated with the inflammatory response. Now, in order for NF-kappa-B to be switched on, so to speak, an upstream kinase known as IKK-beta must first be activated. The researchers took advantage of mouse macrophages that do not have any active IKK-beta. This means that NF-kappa-B cannot be activated in these particular cells. The researchers then looked at the behavior of these IKK-beta-deficient macrophages in different environments, and in particular, they looked at whether or not the cells became M1 or M2 macrophages. For example, Hageman et al. Started their study by culturing normal macrophages with ovarian tumor cells. As had been shown previously, they found that normal macrophages were activated to become M2 cells, which are the type that are anti-inflammatory.
Wouldn't it be better if they became inflammatory so they could kill the cancer cells?
Sure, but for the tumor cells to have a better chance of surviving, it's better for them if the macrophages become anti-inflammatory. And it's thought that the cancer cells produce anti-inflammatory factors or cytokines which activate the macrophages to become the anti-inflammatory or M2 type. This happens in real tumors too. However, when the researchers cultured IKK-beta-deficient macrophages with ovarian tumor cells, M1 macrophages were produced instead.
So the IKK-beta-deficient macrophages were cancer killers?
Right. They could not respond to the tumor cells' instructions, and so instead of becoming nice, quiet, anti-inflammatory M2 macrophages, which is what the tumor cells would like, they developed into inflammatory, tumor cell-killing M1 macrophages. The researchers then went further by transferring either normal or IKK-beta-deficient macrophages into mice with pre-existing tumors, and they found that the tumors in mice that received the IKK-beta-deficient macrophages became smaller than those in the mice that received the normal macrophages.
Does that mean that these IKK-beta-deficient macrophages were able to help the immune systems of these mice get rid of some of the tumors?
That's the interpretation, that the macrophages without IKK-beta could not respond to the cytokines produced by the tumor cells, and so they developed into inflammatory M1 macrophages that helped kill some of the tumor cells. This was probably due both to their ability to kill the tumor cells themselves and to help recruit other cells called natural killer cells, which are also very important in the fight against tumors. This switching in the activation state of the macrophages was accompanied by a change in the overall cytokine environment of the tumor, from one that was anti-inflammatory in nature in the case of tumors that contained normal macrophages to a pro-inflammatory one in the case of tumors that contained IKK beta deficient macrophages.
Okay, so the IKK beta deficient macrophages were tumor cell killers, but don't macrophages also defend the body from pathogens like bacteria and viruses?
Yes.
So how do the IKK beta deficient macrophages do in responding to bacterial infections?
Well, in the second study, Fong and colleagues studied IKK beta function in macrophages during infection by Streptococcus pneumoniae, one of the bacterial species that cause pneumonia. Mice that had IKK beta deficient macrophages cleared the bacteria from their lungs faster than did mice that had normal macrophages. But they also ended up with a prolonged inflammatory response.
And like you said before, a prolonged inflammatory response is not good.
No, it's not. Again, the IKK beta deficient macrophages behaved like pro-inflammatory M1 macrophages, which was great when it came to killing the bacteria, but not as desirable in terms of resolving inflammation and getting the lung back to its normal state. What was also important about this study was that the outcome of not having functional IKK beta depended on the cell type affected. That is, when the researchers infected mice that were deficient in IKK beta specifically in epithelial cells, the cells that form the inner lining of the lung, they found that these mice had difficulty in getting rid of the bacteria. This is because IKK beta activity, and therefore NF-kappa B activation, is important in epithelial cells to be able to combat the bacteria during the early stage of infection.
So inhibiting IKK beta affects how the immune system fights cancer and bacteria differently.
Yes. So IKK beta is considered a good potential therapeutic target for cancer, but not so much for bacterial infection. And in commentary that accompanied these two papers, Timmer and Nizet wrote that, in the case of tumors, targeting the action of IKK beta would seem to be a good option because it promotes more aggressive macrophages that could kill tumor cells. But in the case of bacterial infection, the situation is more complex. A drug against IKK beta would result in more inflammatory macrophages, but it would also inhibit the responses of the infected epithelial cells during early stages of infection, which would likely result in longer infection times. Another outcome might be this prolonged inflammation we talked about, which delays tissue repair. Therefore, it might be feasible to use IKK beta inhibiting drugs to treat cancers, but not infections.
Okay, well thanks, John, for explaining this interesting research.
You're welcome.
That was Science Signaling editor John Foley talking about two articles on making macrophages more efficient killers of tumor cells and bacteria. One of the articles was by Hageman and colleagues titled Re-educating Tumor-Associated Macrophages by Targeting NF-kappa-B. And the other was from Fong and colleagues entitled An Anti-Inflammatory Role for IKK-beta Through the Inhibition of Classical Macrophage Activation.
This is Nancy Goff, editor of Science Signaling. We are pleased to announce the expansion of the journal to include primary research articles. We encourage you to submit manuscripts that describe significant advances in signal transduction research. So if you have some exciting new cell signaling results you're ready to publish, visit Science Signaling at www.sciencesignaling.org and click on the Information for Contributors links on the left side for more information.
In cell signaling news, the winner of this year's Kyoto Prize for Basic Science was announced on June 20th. It was awarded to Dr. Anthony Pawson, who was the first to propose and prove the existence of adaptor proteins, an important milestone in cell signaling research. Dr. Pawson's work confirmed that proteins are often made up of domains called modules, each of which has a unique function, so that the properties of a protein are determined by the modules it contains. One of the modules Dr. Pawson discovered was the SARC homology 2, or SH2 domain. The SH2 domain mediates intracellular signaling by binding to phosphorylated tyrosine residues, which are often present in other signaling proteins. Since then, it has become clear that many intracellular signaling molecules contain this domain and that it is used by organisms from fungi to mammals to transduce signals within cells. Dr. Pawson is currently at the Samuel Lunenfeld Research Institute at Mount Sinai Hospital in New York City, where his lab continues to study protein-protein interactions in signal transduction. Every week, Science Signaling publishes articles such as reviews, perspectives, and teaching resources. The current issue of Science Signaling includes a review by Harris and colleagues that delves into some of the mechanisms by which ethanol affects the nervous system. For much of the 20th century, it was widely believed that ethanol exerted its effects on neuronal function nonspecifically, perhaps by disordering cell membranes, for example. However, during the past two decades or so, evidence has mounted that instead, ethanol produces its effects by altering the function of specific proteins. In this review, Harris and colleagues explore how ethanol affects some of these proteins. And in the July 22nd issue of Science Signaling, we will feature a review by Schwegman and Brombacher that discusses strategies for developing new drugs to combat the global health problem of infectious disease. Current strategies for managing infectious diseases focus on developing drugs that target factors that are unique to the pathogens in order to kill them. A serious disadvantage of this strategy has been the development of drug resistance and the subsequent resurgence of infectious diseases that had previously been contained. But pathogens don't just rely on their own resources to cause infection. They also hijack various factors from their hosts. In this review, Schwegman and Brombacher discuss how blocking these types of interactions between pathogens and the host cell factors that they use to cause infection is emerging as a promising strategy for combating infectious diseases. Read about these topics and many more at www.sciencesignaling.org. That wraps up this Science Signaling podcast. If you have any comments or suggestions, please write to us at sciencesignalingeditors@aaas.org. The show is a production of Science Signaling and of AAAS, the Science Society. Our producer is Robert Frederick. I'm Annalisa Van Hook, and on behalf of Science Signaling and its publisher, the American Association for the Advancement of Science, thanks for joining us.